Good afternoon. I think we should get started. Your Highness, Excellencies, distinguished representatives, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure for me to welcome you to this high-level panel discussion on violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. This afternoon, we have the pleasure of hearing two keynote speeches, followed by four expert presentations on the United Nations model strategies and practical measures on the elimination of violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. Well, this, which has recently been approved by the Third Committee of the General Assembly. Our speakers will also highlight the role of this international committee in the future dissemination and implementation of this new set of United Nations standards and norms. Without further ado, I now have the honor of introducing our first keynote speaker. Her Royal Highness Princess Vajiralongkorn Mahidol of Thailand currently serves as the Deputy Provincial Chief Public Prosecutor at Nongbuolampur Province, Thailand. Prior to that, Her Royal Highness served as the Ambassador and Permanent Representative of Thailand to the United Nations Office at Vienna. Her Royal Highness' keen interest in promoting women's rights has led her to a long commitment to the mainstreaming of women's rights and gender sensitivity in the criminal justice system. From a charitable program aimed at improving the quality of lives of female inmates in Thailand called Inspire Project in 2006, Her Royal Highness has been instrumental in the development of the United Nations rules on the treatment of women prisoners and non-custodial measures for women offenders in 2010. Her Royal Highness received a JSD from Cornell University in 2005. Your Royal Highness, the floor is yours.
Excellencies, distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor and pleasure to meet all of you here at this important high-level event in New York. This afternoon, we will be discussing a very pressing issue of our time. This is how to prevent and respond more effectively on violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. First of all, I would like to welcome all the high-level representatives and experts who will intervene later on, particularly Her Excellency Ms. Sophie Karmasin, Federal Minister of Families and Youth of Austria. No doubt, Austria and Thailand have continued to work closely on this issue. Mara, Aldo, it is great to see both of you again. I also commend the tireless effort of all the organizations involved in preparing for this event. I am confident that this high-level panel discussion will provide an impetus on international efforts toward protection of the rights of the best interests of the child within the criminal justice system. Ladies and gentlemen, children represent the most vulnerable sector of our society, as they are often defenseless and unable to recognize, react, and report acts of violence committed against them. Over the past few years, the international community has increasingly recognized the urgent need to protect children from violence. Despite continued progress in this field, millions of children are still exposed to abandonment, neglect, violence, and crime worldwide, and are susceptible to secondary victimization when they come in contact with the justice system. As we celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child yesterday, we need to reaffirm our commitment to the implementation of the Convention. Paying special attention to the Article 19 on the principle that all children have the right to be protected from violence, abuse, and exploitation. Undeniably, the consequences of violence against children are damaging to both victims and society as a whole. The recent awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize to Malala Yousafzai, and Kailash Starathy for their commitment to protect children remind us that the respect for the rights of the children is crucial for global peace and development. I believe that integrating comprehensive child protection strategies into a broader rule of law efforts represent a positive step in this direction. I am convinced that the criminal justice system represents a key driver for change. We must ensure that the justice system aims to safeguard the best interests of the child at all stages of the justice process, and that it does not tolerate any form of violence against children. Due diligence must be exercised when investigating and punishing the perpetrator, eliminating impunity, and providing assistance to vulnerable children. The new set of standards and norms entitled United Nations Model Strategies and Practical Measures on Elimination of Violence Against Children in the Field of Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice represent a major benchmark for action. Recognizing the need to address the challenges posed by violence against children, the General Assembly, in its Resolution 68/189, mandated the UNODC to convene an intergovernmental expert group to develop a new international normative instrument of soft law aimed at ensuring the warranted protection to which children have an unqualified right. Thailand hosted this expert meeting in Bangkok in February 2014. Representatives from UNODC, UNICEF, OSCHR, and the Office of Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children were also involved in this process so as to ensure that the model strategies meet the highest possible standard. Subsequently, a resolution contained in the model strategies was then presented by Austria and Thailand to the 23rd session of United Nations Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice, which adopted it with the support of 44 co-sponsoring member states. In July 2014, the model strategies were further endorsed by Economic and Social Council, and they were recently approved also by the Third Committee of the General Assembly, which provides a recommendation for their final adoption by the United Nations General Assembly at its 69th session. In our view, the model strategies provide for a comprehensive framework to develop and implement the necessary legal, policy, and operational reform for preventing and responding to violence against children. In particular, they uniquely identify concrete means to strengthen the capacity of the criminal justice system to investigate and prosecute violence against children, and to treat children victims, witnesses, and offenders in a child-sensitive manner. Moreover, the added value of this instrument is its strong focus on the complementary role of the justice system and child protection, social welfare, health, and education sectors. The model strategies embody an integrated approach as they are structurally based not only on the Convention on the Rights of the Child and other international human rights instruments, but also on the relevant United Nations standards and norms on crime prevention and criminal justice. Ladies and gentlemen, the adoption of the model strategies by the plenary session of the General Assembly is expected to take place in a matter of days from now. This will send a strong and unequivocal political message that we, the international community, do not tolerate any form of violence against children, that we believe in change from business as usual, and that we are ready to engage to make the world a better place for our children. I mean, what better way to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child than to reiterate our resolve towards such commitment? Equally important, we should look forward to another anniversary that will take place at the 13th United Nations Congress on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice in Doha, Qatar, in April next year, known as the bastion of numerous global standards and norms. The 13th Crime Congress can celebrate its 60th anniversary with the addition of new model strategies on violence against children. I also take this opportunity to mention the overall theme of the 13th Crime Congress, that is, integrating crime prevention and criminal justice into the wider United Nations agenda to address social and economic challenges and to promote the rule of law at national and international levels and public participation. Protecting children from violence in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice, I believe, is a direct answer to such a call. But perhaps we should do more in order to ensure that post-2015 development agenda also takes on board this indispensable aspect. While we managed to achieve the initial diplomatic success, we should look at the adoption of the model strategies not as the point of arrival, but rather as a point of departure. Already, Thailand and Austria joined hands in launching the UNODC UNICEF Global Program on Violence Against Children for the first time in Vienna last October. Translating the model strategies into reality, whether through awareness raising, research, legislation reviews, capacity building, and enhanced cooperation among all relevant stakeholders, will be crucial to their success, dissemination, and implementation. In this regard, I would like to report to you that earlier this month, UNODC, UNICEF, and the Thailand Institute of Justice jointly organized a regional pilot workshop on model strategies in Bangkok. In the framework of broader training event on the treatment of children in contact with the justice system, the workshop aimed to pilot test two training tools on model strategies that are in process of being developed by the UNODC in close cooperation with the TIJ. I have every confidence that such exercise will facilitate the understanding and the application of the model strategies within criminal justice system worldwide. In this, I commend UNODC for having provided its expertise and continue to work with us on this collaborative project. Ladies and gentlemen, to conclude, I would like to reiterate the commitment of Thailand in promoting the respect for and protection of human rights of children. Especially within its criminal justice system, we will continue to be engaged in activities aimed at strengthening the capacity of criminal justice professionals to prevent and to respond to violence against children. After all, the world cannot expect the development goals to be sustained if the future of our next generation is in peril. We must cultivate the culture of lawfulness as to create peaceful and inclusive society to embrace the rule of law. We must mainstream a right-based approach to the consciousness of our society so as to foil any violent tendency. But we will be unable to achieve such endeavor if we do not do it together. I urge all member states and UN entities to join hands in building a safer, more secure, and sustainable world for our children. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Your Royal Highness. I have now the great pleasure of introducing our next keynote speaker, Her Excellency Ms. Sophie Karmasind. Her Excellency has been the Federal Minister for Families and Youth of Austria since December 2013, prior to appointment from 2011 to 2013, Her Excellency was the managing partner of the Austrian Gallup Institute. From 2009 to 2013, Her Excellency was the founder of a consulting firm entitled Sophie Karmasind Market Intelligence. Her Excellency received a PhD in psychology in 1995. Excellency, you now have the floor.
Thank you very much. Your Royal Highness, the Excellencies, the ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to be here to discuss about the model strategies and also our actions in Austria from the model strategies and which results we can deliver in Austria concerning punishment and violence for children with children in criminal detention. Together with Thailand, Austria has initiated and supported the development of the United Nations model strategies and practical measure on the elimination of violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. And as we know, we already still have 1 million children in prison all over the world, which underlines the importance of this topic. The aim was to strengthen the implementation of child rights in the administration of justice. To this end, efforts were addressed towards bringing coherence between three policy-making bodies of the United Nations: the General Assembly, the Human Rights Council, and the Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. And I'm therefore very pleased that the model strategies have been approved by the Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice in Vienna in May this year. And my special thanks goes to Thailand, which were perfect partners being part of this model strategy. On behalf of the Republic of Austria, I would like to express certainly my gratitude to all UN partners and UN institutions involved. Because violence against children in a legal context is indeed a global challenge. Child victims and witnesses of crime, as well as children who are, for example, accused of breaking the law, are especially vulnerable to violence. Indeed, they may be re-victimized during their participation in the justice system, which can leave them more vulnerable to future violence. Against this background, the model strategies are a valuable tool for member states to promote measures to prevent and effectively respond to violence against children. First, model strategies are human rights-based. All the practical suggestions are based on international human rights standards and norms. Second, model strategies take an integrated approach. That means they recognize the complementary roles of the justice system on the one hand and the child protection, social welfare, health and education sectors on the other hand. Three, model strategies remind member states that they should ensure that criminal law is used appropriately and effectively to criminalize various forms of violence against children. And fourth, model strategies are as well gender sensitive, taking into account the specific needs of girls and boys. And fifth, and this is the even most important point, model strategies aim to be as practical as possible for a document that aims to be of a global value. And now I would like to point out what are the implications of the model strategies in Austria and which results can be claimed in Austria. We believe in Austria that the prevention of violence against detained youth correlates with the avoidance of detention as far as possible, or at least detention for only the shortest necessary period. Imprisonment should be the least measure when dealing with young people. It should only be applied when no other measures are available in order to prevent them from committing further offensive actions. This requires that the environment of the young persons in a question is analyzed intensively, followed by involving the young person's social environment as well as seeking accommodation alternatives for placement of the young person. In this respect, the following measures are applied. The extension of the court assistance for young people in order to take into account the young person's social environment, both for determining the punishment as well as to apply appropriate measures for the future. Second, financing and carrying out meetings to analyze the social environment of the young person with the aim to shorten his detention period. In these professionally moderated meetings, the social environment, especially the family, the schools, employer or friends, are systematically involved in the process, and the young person is actively involved in finding future-oriented solutions. And third, the establishment of supervised living arrangements or shared living arrangement for young offenders who need supervision on a more restrictive framework as an alternative to imprisonment. Austria expects and already sees a lot of consequences on these measurements, as we can see that we have 50% less prisoners in Austria by these measurements. So we see that it works, and the detained young people are living not in the prison but in separated and social environments. As Austrian Minister for Family and Youth, I'm also responsible for youth welfare and the protection of children and young people who cannot be brought up by their families and therefore live in social pedagogic centers. Continuous efforts were made over past decades, and the following measures ensure the best possible protection against violence. Abolishment of closed housing centers, the closure of big houses, placement close to social environment, encouragement of contact to the family of origin, increased professionalization of the supervisors, training for them, assessment and supervision, qualified supervision of the pedagogic centers, and also we try to bring the young people who cannot live with their families to other so-called care families where they can live in a family surrounding. And these measures were strengthened by the following points. Carefully examination of caretakers' repute, establishment of so-called ombudspersons outside the institutions to which children and young people can turn with cases of abuse, examination of the centers by the Austrian Ombudsman Board with regard to the upholding of human rights. Independent commissions were implemented to uncover and deal with sexual and physical abuses during the last decades in order to grant remuneration as well as psychotherapy for the victims. On behalf of Austria, I like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to UNODC and UNICEF for developing a global program aimed to promote this implementation of this normative instrument. Ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude in assuring you that Austria will contribute to support the fight against violence against children and is committed to continue joining hands with UN partners to this end. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your remarks. Let me now invite our first expert panelist, Mr. Aldo Lelle-Demos, the Deputy Executive Director of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes, to contribute to his discussion. Mr. Lelle-Demos, now you have the floor.
Your Royal Highness, Princess Pashrakitiyaba Mahidol of Thailand, Your Excellency, Ms. Sophie Karmazin, Federal Minister for Family and Youth of Austria, my colleague Marta Santos-Pais, Special Representative of the SG on Violence Against Children, Excellencies, distinguished delegates and stakeholders, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the UNODC, of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, I'm particularly delighted to participate in this high-level panel discussion on violence against children in the context of crime prevention and criminal justice. Together with other partners, our office has the mandate to support member states in preventing crime and violence, but also in strengthening the administration of criminal justice. And I trust it will be not a surprise to any of you that our collective mandates to improve people's access to justice have never been in such high demand everywhere as is the case today. Specifically, what brings us together now is our collective commitment to promoting justice for children and to ensuring that children are better served and protected by their respective justice systems. And yes, the issue of violence against children constitutes a key component of our work in the broader area of justice for children. UNODC's work in this area is based on three mutually reinforcing pillars. One pillar devoted to knowledge, to data collection, to research, to analysis. Another pillar focusing on normative work. And the third pillar focusing or addressing technical assistance. With regard to our normative work, we assist member states in developing international standards and norms related to justice for children, and we are proud of having taken the lead and having worked with others in supporting the international community as they developed the United Nations model strategies and practical measures on the elimination of violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. The approach by the international community of this new set of standards and norms represents a great achievement and provides evidence of the strong commitment of member states to reducing and eliminating violence against children. The model strategies were developed to support member states in the complex task of integrating violence prevention and child protection strategies. The principal objective is to improve the effectiveness of the justice systems to prevent and respond to violence against children, to protect children from any violence that may result from their contact with the justice system. With the anticipated adoption of the model strategies by the General Assembly later this year, UNODC and our key partners will have a new mandate, namely to disseminate the model strategies and to provide technical assistance to member states to prevent and respond to violence against children. Precisely to achieve these ends, I am pleased to announce that UNODC, jointly with UNICEF, have developed a global program on violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. We wish to assist member states in the implementation of the model strategies with as much efficiency as we can muster. Considering the highly complex nature of violence against children and the challenges associated with overcoming this negative phenomenon, we want to work with member states to translate the model strategies into the language and into the practices that people can actually understand and embrace. But let us be realistic. The needs for technical assistance in this field are extensive and cannot be met within a short period of time. Interventions require, amongst many other actions, the effective incorporation of international standards into national legislation, the establishment of accountable institutions and policies, the training of justice practitioners, and of course, the active cooperation between child protection institutions on the one hand and the justice systems on the other. The proposed UNODC-UNICEF global program is meant as an instrument to set in motion a coherent response to the challenge of violence against children and to meet the growing needs of the international community for technical assistance. It would also provide both UNODC and UNICEF with a unique opportunity to better integrate the various activities that are already being carried out by our two organizations, thus creating synergies and exploring new opportunities. It is our wish that the global program be implemented in close coordination with the Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children, Marta Santos Pais, and in very close association with the United Nations Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and with the UN Department for Peacekeeping Operations. Such partnerships are essential to achieve efficiencies, to align priorities, to avoid duplication, and to actually be relevant to member states and to the people we're supposed to serve. Just a few months ago, in August and September of this year, UNODC conducted bilateral consultations with 44 member states, which co-sponsored the resolution that approved the model strategies at the May 2014 session of the Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. These bilateral consultations proved instrumental to collect substantive inputs from member states to better inform and to develop the UNODC-UNICEF Global Program on Violence Against Children, which you have in front of you and which was presented to member states, as was mentioned before, in Vienna on the 6th of October of this year, during a meeting co-chaired by Her Royal Highness Princess Pashra Kitayaba Mahidol of Thailand and Her Excellency Ms. Christine Stix-Hackl, Ambassador of Austria to the United Nations in Vienna. We are pleased to announce that during said meeting, the global program received unanimously positive feedback. We shall work hard with partners to ensure that the global program achieves our common objectives, and we count on your support to jointly promote its implementation and its independent evaluation in due course. We must translate the model strategies into concrete actions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lelo de Mos. I now invite Ms. Marta Santos-Pais, the Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children, to address this meeting. Ms. Santos, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Your Royal Highness, Madam Minister, distinguished participants, dear friends. It is a great pleasure for me to join this important meeting, and I would like to start by recognizing the very strong leadership provided by Her Royal Highness Princess Mahidol and the governments of Thailand and Austria in this process. I also want to acknowledge the excellent support provided to this initiative by UNODC and the Association of the Office of the High Commissioner and UNICEF to the development of the guidelines. I think there could not be a better moment than the commemoration of the 25th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child to, in fact, host this important meeting. Because a juvenile justice system based on the rights of the child and the protection of children from violence are at the heart of the Convention on the Rights of the Child. But as we have all heard in the course of yesterday's debate, violence, abuse, and exploitation continue to compromise the daily life of millions of children in all regions of the world. And with this, we are compromising social development and eroding the human capital of all of our societies. I came very recently from an important meeting with young people in Latin America, and they had two very important and strong messages for us. The first message was, as they said, the fact that our life can be defined in one single word, fear. Fear of violence and harassment, especially when we live on the street or belong to socially excluded groups. Fear of enduring extortion and manipulation by violent gangs and criminal networks. Fear of being stigmatized as a danger for society and ending up being criminalized by the police and the criminal justice system. Secondly, they stressed what we really need is security and justice. Security to grow up with confidence, to feel safe and protected from the risk of violence and reprisals. And justice to safeguard our rights, to ensure fairness and protection, and to fight impunity whenever violence takes place. These are, however, challenges that, in their view, are really not yet considered. In essence, I think this captures in the message of these young people the reason why violence against children in the criminal justice system has been a priority for my mandate over the past 5 years. This is also why I have been very actively involved in the promotion, development, and adoption of the model strategies. And I'm very happy that today we have a great opportunity to advance the process of dissemination and implementation of these new important standards. As I mentioned, violence against children remains widespread, pervasive, and concealed. It happens in all contexts and certainly also in the criminal justice system. We know that countless children who are alleged perpetrators, who are victims or who are witnesses, have a history of exposure to violence. In many states, the justice system is still used as a substitute to non-existent or weak child protection systems. And this leads to the stigmatization and criminalization of the most vulnerable children in our societies, including those who live and work on the streets, those who have fled home as a result of violence, or those who are simply poor and vagrant. In a number of countries, as we know, girls face criminalization and inhuman sentencing on the grounds of immoral character or perverse conduct. These are terminology used in many legislations around the world. Many, because they are exploited in rings of prostitution, are simply criminalized, and many are victims of rape and yet forced to marry the perpetrators. At the same time, we see that restorative approaches and alternative non-custodial measures continue to lack in many countries around the world, and as a result, thousands of children end up being deprived of liberty, in many cases awaiting trials for long, endless periods of time. They are held in police stations, pre-trial facilities, closed children's homes, and other places of detention. And boys and girls in this situation risk systematically humiliation, abuse, ill-treatment, and torture. Yet child victims of violence face overwhelming barriers in seeking justice. many are unaware of their rights, and even fewer have access to safe, effective, and child-sensitive counseling, reporting, or complaint mechanisms. Perpetrators are very often, as we know, people of trust, people children love, or people on whom children depend for their own safety and protection. This makes it even more difficult for children to complain and seek redress. Seeking redress can be really a labyrinth, even for us who are lawyers dealing with these issues on a daily basis. Not only do children risk stigmatization and reprisals by their own families and communities, but in addition, they may risk re-victimization by the same criminal justice that is established to safeguard their rights. And it is for all these reasons that these model strategies provide such a sense of hope, that we are before a turning point and a landmark opportunity to change the life of children. As we heard Her Royal Highness Princess Mahidol recalling, and other speakers, the model strategies promote an integrated approach that brings together so many different norms and standards adopted in the human rights field and in the criminal justice system field. They provide very valuable and systematic guidance and put forward enormous number of measures and strategies that can practically help states advance implementation. They were informed by research and very important national experience, and I'm very happy to see so many countries who were instrumental in developing these model strategies. But they also address important challenges, and I would like to share with you four of them that to me continue to be very important. The first one is the fact that we are still faced with ill perceptions and widespread prejudice towards marginalized groups of children, and this continues to fuel incidents of violence against them. We still have a common public perception, for instance, that children are responsible for high-level rates of criminality or that they are behind the perpetration of serious crimes. And yet, when we look at the available statistical information, we realize this is absolutely not the case. In many communities around the world, we are still faced with superstitious beliefs towards vulnerable children, children with disabilities, children with albinism, children without parental care, who are considered to be the cause of any misfortune that may happen in their communities. And as a result, they are blamed by this lack of luck, unexpected bad luck, and they are very often, as a result of social pressure, accused of witchcraft, very often going beyond suffering serious acts of violence, torture, and even murder. But impunity prevails when we try to understand what happens to those responsible for these acts. Gender discrimination, stereotype, gender roles, and depiction of girls as commodities and sexual objects, very often reinforced by the media, aggravate, of course, the many challenges children face. And for this reason, the model strategies provide many answers, but one important one is the need for all states to have sound legislation with a clear, explicit prohibition of all forms of violence against children, including within the criminal justice system as a form of control, of discipline, or sentencing. Yet we know that still today there are children who are subject to capital punishment. We know that there are girls who are subject to flogging and whipping in many parts of the world. The model strategies also call for any justifications that may condone or consent to violence on the grounds of culture, tradition, or honor to be removed from legislation. These are very important steps. But of course, it also empowers authorities to know what they can provide as a response, including what are the alternatives to deprivation of liberty for children who may be involved with the criminal justice system. Very briefly, the second challenge that I believe we need to continue to invest and the model strategies showed the way is the fact that we have been investing very poorly in prevention of crime and prevention of violence against children. And without investing in basic social services of quality, of course, we will not be able to fight inequity, social exclusion, and give the most vulnerable children the option, the opportunity to enjoy their fundamental rights. We also are confronted with lack of data and research, and this very often is used to justify very stigmatizing attitudes towards children, especially the most vulnerable. We all need to invest urgently in these areas and support these initiatives with broad awareness raising, capacity building, and mobilization campaigns where all of us may play a role, from local leaders, religious leaders, opinion leaders, to governmental officials, of course. But in addition, we need strong protection systems, and strong protection systems which ally their efforts with social protection initiatives, with good health and education initiatives, because all and each and every sector may play a role in preventing and addressing violence against children. The third challenge is certainly the fact that also professionals involved in the criminal justice system are not immune to ill perceptions and societal attitudes. And they often lack the skills and the training to do the right thing and to use the legislation or the international standards in the best way. It is for this reason imperative that we invest systematically in enhancing their skills, but also practical guidance on how they can best do the best use of the skills that they are provided with. The final point I wanted to mention, and this is time every day I receive, the testimony of young people about this, is that when children suffer violence, it is so difficult for them to bring their cases, as Minister just mentioned a moment ago, before an institution which is ready to listen, to follow up, and to fight impunity. Most of the incidents are still not investigated, and the sense that children have that there is no reason why they should provide these complaints because no one is taking them seriously or is going to follow is prevailing in all regions of the world. I'm saying all this because the model strategies can turn this around, as I was saying. They will advance the implementation of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and they are an essential tool to mainstream the rights of the child in the criminal justice system. But as we know, the success of the model strategies will be measured by the way it will have a concrete impact on the daily life of children. And this is dependent, of course, on the way we will invest in their dissemination, their implementation, the documentation of how it is being used and impacting on children, and how we can improve it as we go along. From my side, I remain strongly committed to continue to joining hands with all of you in achieving this goal. Many thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Santos-Pais. I now invite Mr. Charles Radcliffe, the Chief of the Global Issues Section of the Office of High Commissioner for Human Rights, to address the meeting. Mr. Radcliffe, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair, Your Royal Highness, distinguished delegates, friends and colleagues. Firstly, a warm thank you to Thailand and Austria for their long-standing commitment to the protection of children in the criminal justice system for helping to generate much-needed visibility to this issue here at the United Nations. Our premise at the most basic level is one that I think we can all certainly sign up to today, and that is that children don't belong in prison. They shouldn't be in confined detention away from care and love and nurture. They should be in safe home environments, and they should be in school. Which is why the figure that we heard earlier today from the Austrian Minister for Family is so shocking. More than 1 million children in prison or in detention around the world. And I believe UNICEF has said that the real figure is probably much higher because of the gaps in the data. More than half of these children are held without trial. Most are charged only with petty crimes. Some are simply held for skipping school or begging or consuming alcohol or for being a nuisance. Few have access to adequate healthcare, education, counseling. An alarming number spend at least part of their day in solitary confinement. Physical and psychological abuse at the hands of police, adult detainees, and peers has been widely documented. Now, of course, any justice system has to deal with the reality of children who break the law. But an emphasis on criminal penalties and on imprisonment as a primary response to juvenile law-breaking is simply the wrong response. And not just wrong, but counterproductive. We know that most imprisoned children reoffend once they're released. And studies show that they are also much more likely to end up back in prison as adults compared with those that are convicted of similar offenses but given non-custodial sentences. Incarceration is also very expensive. And in the United States, for example, the National Bureau of Economic Research estimates it costs about $88,000 a year to imprison a child, which is up to 10 times higher than the cost of alternative non-custodial sentences. But the real price is human, not financial. children in custody suffer anxiety, depression, feelings of hopelessness, and especially if they're sent far away from their family or their community environment. And violence, which far too many experience in custody, adds enormously to these problems, often leading to severe physical injury and psychological trauma, even in some cases, death. So in short, prison really is the very worst place in the world to put a child, which is why, as a response to juvenile criminality, it should be considered a response of the absolute last resort. I think at the UN, really no one has done more to expose the seriousness of this problem than the special representative of the Secretary General, Marta Santos Pais, which is why I'm so pleased that we had an opportunity to hear from her today. Back in 2012, our office, the UN Human Rights Office, worked together with the special representative and her team and with UNODC to prepare a landmark report to the UN Human Rights Council. That report identified many of the risks of violence to which children can be exposed within the criminal justice system. I see there's a handy copy of it here. And recommended concrete strategies to try to protect children from those kind of risks. And they include, I mean, three key areas. One is preventive measures, reducing the number of children who come into contact with the criminal justice system in the first place by abolishing many of these so-called status offences, like begging, consuming alcohol, loitering, which unnecessarily bring children into the remit of the criminal justice system. Another area was treating imprisonment really genuinely as a measure of absolute last resort, making sure that there is absolutely no alternative sentence that can achieve the objectives, and making much more use of diversion and alternative non-custodial sentences. And finally, making sure that those children who do come into contact with the criminal justice system have access to legal assistance, to counselling, and to child-sensitive complaints procedures. Since that report came out, this issue has stayed high on the agenda at the Human Rights Council in Geneva, and it's been increasingly taken up too across the UN human rights system. In follow-up to the joint report, the Council asked the UN Human Rights Office to prepare a separate study on the rights of juveniles deprived of liberty. And in March this year, the Council held a day of discussion on access to justice for children, which this issue also has addressed. This has also been a recurrent focus for the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, both in its dialogue with states, in its concluding observations. The committee has repeatedly expressed its concern regarding the treatment of children in the criminal justice system. It's also issued two general comments which provide guidance to states in meeting their obligations under the convention, which touch on this issue. One is General Comment 10 on children's rights in juvenile justice, and General Comment 13 on the right of the child to be free from violence. But as often is the case, the challenge isn't just to identify what needs to be done, it's how to make it happen. And that is where I think these model strategies that we're here to promote today can really come into play and make a difference. They provide governments with the tools needed to move from discussion to implementation. The application of these model strategies at the country level offers possibly the most important opportunity for decades to fundamentally change the way that children experience the administration of justice. And if they're used in the way that we hope, they promise to improve outcomes for young offenders, their families, and communities around the world. For our part, in contributing to the model strategies, we've sought to make sure that the policies being advanced in these strategies are firmly rooted in human rights, and in particular, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So let me end with an appeal on that note to all states who have not yet ratified the optional protocol on communication procedure. That optional protocol to the convention, which entered into force in April this year, will give children who have suffered violations direct access to an international human rights complaint mechanism. The Committee on the Rights of the Child is currently working on a child-friendly complaint form which will enable children to address their communications to the committee directly. We hope and expect that this procedure will provide another source of effective redress and remedy to victims of violations, and in the process add another strut to the scaffolding supporting child rights around the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Radcliffe. I now invite Mr. Kerry L. Neal, Child Protection Specialist in the Office of Justice for Children, UNICEF, to make his presentation. Mr. Neal, now you have the floor.
Thank you. Your Royal Highness, Your Excellencies, distinguished fellow panelists, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you all for inviting UNICEF to participate in the panel and for bringing much-needed attention to the issue of violence against children in the justice system. And I'd also like to thank the keynote speakers and my fellow panelists for providing an excellent overview of the model strategies, as well as reminding us of the political and technical processes that led to their formulation and adoption, and of their relation to the overall body of international human rights law. As we all know, but I would be amiss as a representative of UNICEF if I didn't remind you again, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child yesterday. And that's a milestone that we at UNICEF, of course, have been extremely proud to celebrate. And it's been a chance for us to reflect on the progress that has been made in the realization of children's rights in the last 25 years. But it's also, of course, a point at which we've have to take stock of those areas where more work needs to be done. And I think there's an agreement here that one of those areas where we still have a lot of work to do is in meeting the obligations of Article 19, in ensuring that all children are protected from all forms of physical and mental and emotional violence, injury or abuse. Now, violence against children is a universal challenge, capturing all levels of society in all countries. And so tackling it does command broad support from governments, both within the United Nations and other international and regional bodies. And there's a global movement, I think, growing to protect children from violence, exploitation, and abuse. And I also have to take this opportunity to recognize the role of Marta Santos Pais in creating a lot of the political momentum behind that movement. Thank you. Combating violence against children is something that resonates with governments, communities, parents and children around the world at a time when the public needs convincing that countries are capable of working together to transform the lives of current and future generations as the international community develops its goals for the post-2015 agenda. But urgent steps are still needed to ensure that momentum isn't lost, and that includes development of credible plans to ensure steep reductions in the violence children face in all settings. Otherwise, the aspirations to keep all children safe will be seen as empty, and our opportunity to confront abuse and violence directly could be lost for another generation. And the urgency of tackling this issue is becoming clearer and clearer to us in the scientific evidence that's emerging from the fields of neuroscience, psychology, and medicine, demonstrating the long-term effects of exposure to violence and ill treatment. This is mounting daily. It's increasingly evident that experiencing or even witnessing violence in childhood and adolescence can cause toxic stress, which impairs the physical and mental and emotional development of a child, an impact on their future life, which impairs their possibility and potential to participate in the social and economic life of the community in which he or she lives. And so preventing violence against children, it's not just a human rights imperative, but it's an essential element of sustainable development as well. It's not just the right thing to do, it's actually the smart thing to do. It makes sense in an economic as well as a moral sense. The model strategies are an important element of this effort to combat violence in several ways. Aside from adding to the body of normative instruments and mechanisms that reflect the commitment of the international community to prevent violence against children, they're important because they do focus on a group of children that's often neglected or forgotten in policy approaches to the issue. And unfortunately, a group that is sometimes even seen as less deserving of that protection. As my fellow panelists have pointed out, children in the criminal justice system are especially vulnerable to violence and ill treatment, and they find it harder to seek and obtain redress when they do experience violence. And the model strategies are a concrete, normative, and practical step towards addressing this vulnerability and the accountability gap that exists around it. But of course, for the promise of the model strategies to become real, member states, intergovernmental organizations, and other bodies need to implement them. And we know that this is, of course, a challenging process. As important as the normative framework is, the existence of legal standards and treaties alone has not been enough so far to ensure that justice systems are treating children appropriately or to motivate states to stop imprisoning children at the rates that they do. Now, in part, this is because juvenile justice issues are tied to overall criminal justice policy, and this is an area in which policy dialogue is extremely challenging and subject to the demands of public opinion. And sadly, that public opinion is still often inclined to turn a blind eye towards violence that occurs towards children in the justice system and in detention in particular. So fighting that sort of tacit approval and willingness to turn a blind eye to violence against this vulnerable group of children is going to require a consolidated effort to change the attitudes of a range of actors, including justice and law enforcement officials, as well as rallying communities, families, and children themselves to reject the use of violence. And this, for UNICEF, is linked to our global campaign to end violence against children in all its forms. And the model strategies are an important tool to be able to ensure that in implementing that wider end violence campaign, states recognizing that end violence for all children means just that, all children in all settings, including those in the criminal justice system. As has been mentioned, UNICEF, alongside with fellow entities represented here today, we're committing to supporting programmatic and advocacy work in member states to support the implementation of the model strategies. And we'd also like to thank the member states, Austria and Thailand in particular, that played such a vital role in the development of the strategies. And together with our partners, and in particular UNODC and the Office of the SRSG on Violence Against Children, we have a proposed program of technical assistance and programmatic interventions in order to translate practice into practice what's included in the new normative instrument. And our goal is ultimately to see all states' justice systems follow the guidance of the strategies and treat all children in a respectful and protective manner. And I hope we can count on the support of everyone in the room in order to achieve that goal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I thank all our speakers for sharing with us their insights on the implementation of the model strategies. Now I have the pleasure to give the floor to the distinguished representatives of some member states that co-sponsored the resolution containing the model strategies on the occasion of its adoption by the United Nations Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice in May 2014. First, allow me to invite His Excellency, Mr. Rubin E. Husband, the Ambassador and Deputy Permanent Representative, Permanent Mission of El Salvador to the United Nations to make his intervention. Excellency, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I always get really nervous when I have to go first. But thank you very much to Austria and Thailand and all the different agencies that are here reunited. My name is Ruben. Not only the DPR, but I also have a foot very much anchored in the third committee. So I'm really pleased to see a lot of friendly faces around the issue of crime prevention, criminal justice, and how to prevent children from that. As my dear friend Nadia, where's Nadia? There she is. From Austria can tell us, we were just talking about the issue of the program and the model strategies a couple of weeks ago. As you know, the resolution on human rights in the administration of justice that Austria presents to the third committee was just adopted yesterday, and my country was really happy to be co-sponsoring for the first time as well. Also welcomes once again the adoption of the model strategies. And I've been also collecting and hearing from my permanent mission in Vienna about how the process came about and also about how active both Thailand and Austria are. And sitting here, I see how obvious it is that all of us are working together. For example, I see Marta Santos-Pais. She was in our country last year, and the issue of violence against children in the issue of crime prevention and criminal justice is a big chunk of her recommendations that she made to my country. And that's also true for the Office of the High Commissioner. We're just coming out of the second cycle of the Universal Periodic Review, and that is also an issue that we know we have pending. It cuts across, for example, with UNICEF, the implementation of all our commitments, not only with the CRC, but also the three protocols, even the protocols on communication that we have signed, hoping that ratification will come soon enough, and also with UNODC, that we are working really closely with here in New York and Vienna. So we bring all these elements, and then the adoption of the model strategies and the launching of the global program makes absolute sense to us, especially coming from Latin America, a region that you all know is afflicted by high levels of social violence that actually affect directly how kids are perceived as perpetrators and how kids are actually affected as well as witnesses and as victims of violence, especially in school, at home, and all that. So with all that, besides welcoming the launching here of the program and just reaffirming again all the commitment that we have to make sure that we actually bring those commitments to reality, I would like to reiterate as well, I know that it's being said by my mission in Geneva, there was a note verbal that was sent on October 15th, I believe that El Salvador will be more than honored and happy to become one of the three pilot countries in which this global program will be implemented. We believe that the issues that we face are quite, well, not only challenging, but at the same time quite representative of many of the issues you will find across the Latin American region. And we really hope that the country can be positively evaluated in the light of all the elements that you describe in page 20 of the document that we have here. And I just would like to reiterate as well my appreciation to everybody that has made this possible, including the donor countries and the agencies that will be closing hand in hand together. Next year, we're going to be adopting, I believe, our next country program document by the Executive Board of UNICEF. And seeing all those things coming into place at the right time, we believe that being part of those three countries will be something that will regenerate the extra push that we need to make sure that those recommendations can actually be put into place. So my appreciation, our commitment, both here and my mission in Vienna, we were also following up with all of you guys there. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Excellency. I now give the floor to Ms. Anne-Lee Ferguson, Senior Advisor of the Royal Norwegian Ministry of Justice and Public Security. Ms. Ferguson, you now have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, let me first thank the co-sponsors for hosting this important event. Yesterday, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the CRC. But whereas significant improvements have been achieved since 1989, important disparities remain, and there is no time for complacency. Albeit the CRC is frequently described as the most ratified convention, it is, lamentably, also the most violated. And children in conflict with the law have always been the unwanted children of the child rights movement. As a matter of fact, I cannot recall having heard them being mentioned even once yesterday. Children perceived to be in conflict with the law meet an array of risks of violence within the justice system, and children in contact with the law run a high risk of re-victimization. The UN Secretary General's study on violence against children found that children in care and justice institutions are at higher risk of violence than any other children. And as we have heard today, there are more than 1 million of them at any given time. Police and other security forces are often responsible for violence against children, and arrests are one of the situations in which this occurs. The 5 years on follow-up report to the Secretary General's study found that children are at high risk of violence from the first point of contact with the law, and this appears to occur across regions. In a newly launched report on a childhood free from corporal violence, corporal punishment, it's stated that 71 states still allow corporal punishment to be used in penal institutions for children, and 39 states still use corporal punishment as a sentence in criminal, religious, and or traditional systems of justice. And this is not acceptable. Children in contact with the justice system as victims, witnesses, or alleged or recognized offenders must be treated in a child-sensitive manner and with respect for their rights, dignity, and needs. These important issues have unfortunately been much neglected. Notwithstanding, the approving resolution of the United Nations Model Strategies and Practical Measures on the Elimination of Violence Against Children in the Field of Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice by the CCPCJ and the co-sponsorship by more than 40 member states does indeed represent a historical achievement and a strong endorsement of the commitment of governments towards addressing the issue of violence against children. With the upcoming adoption of this normative instrument by the General Assembly, member states will be guided by a powerful instrument to develop and implement the necessary legal and policy frameworks for preventing and responding to violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice. Considering the complex nature of this issue, many member states will, however, require technical assistance in order to translate into practice what is included in a new normative instrument. For this reason, a global program will prove useful in order to facilitate a global response to the challenges of violence against children and to meet the growing needs of the international community for assistance in the effective implementation of the model strategies. Designing a global program to address violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice is also imperative to provide long-term sustainable action and effective follow-up initiatives. The partnership between the UNODC and UNICEF seems to be the perfect one. They're both UN entities with complementary mandates, experience, competencies, and networks, and both entities are mandated to support countries in the implementation of human rights standards, including those pertaining to justice for children. Their joint efforts to develop a comprehensive global program in such an expeditiously manner clearly demonstrates the expertise of the two entities in this area and the fact that they are well positioned to implement it. And we are also very pleased to hear that this program will be implemented in close cooperation with the SRHG and OHCHR. We would thus like to express our appreciation and gratitude to the UNODC and UNICEF. We also praise the UNODC for having adopted an innovative approach in the development of a program, seeking the advice from the 44 co-sponsors of the resolution and designing a document that reflects the priorities and the views of those countries that were the driving force behind the development and adoption of the model strategies. On this background, Norway welcomes and strongly supports this excellent initiative. We will be looking forward to joining hands with you in the implementation of the model strategies in the struggle to achieve the ultimate goal, namely the elimination of violence against children in the field of crime prevention and criminal justice, and we urge other member states to do the same. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Ms. Ferguson. Finally, I have the pleasure to invite our last speaker, His Excellency Ambassador Larry Dinger of the United States of America. His Excellency, the floor is yours.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here with you today. On behalf of my government, I would like to thank the organizers of this panel, particularly the governments of Austria and Thailand, which played such instrumental roles in developing and securing passage of the model strategies and practical measures on the elimination of violence against children in Vienna at this year's United Nations Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. The United States is particularly grateful to Her Royal Highness Princess Pachala Kitiyaba for her personal leadership in this process. My country's delegation to the UN Crime Commission asked me to emphasize that without her dedication and commitment, these guidelines would never have been endorsed by consensus. The United States thanks her for her tireless efforts and wishes her every success in her new endeavors. The United States was pleased to contribute to the development of these model strategies, which have become an integral tool in the United Nations system of standards and norms in crime prevention and criminal justice. The UN system of standards and norms has become a valuable set of resources to help states achieve the minimally acceptable standards for responding to a variety of situations, including effective measures for preventing and responding to violence against children. Many governments participated in the development of the model strategies, some with very different legal, constitutional, and social traditions. This diversity of experiences helped produce a better product and underscores the universal commitment that our governments share to protecting children from violence. The model strategies recognize that not all countries have the same legal and constitutional framework to implement all of the recommendations the same way. They include flexibility for national distinctions, but they also form a common foundation of core standards and recommended practices for criminal justice institutions that can help make a real difference in reducing violence against some of society's most vulnerable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Excellency. We have concluded the formal discussion, and I would like to invite those of you who wish to address our expert panelists with their questions or other comments to do so from the floor. I believe we have a couple of minutes for Q&A. May I ask those of you who wish to speak to briefly introduce yourself and, if possible, tell us to which panelist you would like to address your questions or comments, please. If no further comments or questions, I would like to thank our expert panelists, member state representatives, and supporting organizations for this for their contributions to this meeting. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank Her Royal Highness Princess Pacharakitiyapa Mahidol and Her Excellency Ms. Sophie Karmasind for their leadership and recognition for the pressing need to address this challenging issue. It is my hope that the discussion today will help generate political support needed for the implementation of the model strategy on violence against children, and as well as to enhance the international cooperation at all levels. Thank you all again for attending this discussion, and have a great afternoon. Thank you.